a little discombobulated today, a little tardy, and didn't have my devotion schedule straight, and that's why you shouldn't trust in men. You trust the Lord, because men are going to disappoint you from time to time. It's just our nature to do so. And just pray that God will help me, first of all, just find a book of Jonah. Here it is, right there. We're going to read verse 14. We covered that last week. We're going to look at verse 15 specifically today of chapter 1. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it hath pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. A miracle at sea. After the mariners realized that they had to follow the implicit instructions of God's prophet, and after they had prayed to God, they cast this backslidden prophet into the sea. Think about this. They were, in essence, casting the human instrument that God had used to bring about their conversion into the midst of this tempestuous sea. The man who had just introduced them to the true and living God. They had believed his word. And now he's telling them, if you want this to be over, you got to throw me overboard. Now, I can't imagine the range of emotions that must have raced through the hearts of Jonah and those new converts as they traced this prophet overboard. And I really believe that they heave Jonah overboard with heavy hearts. Because think about it. In their mind, humanly speaking, they're thinking, we're throwing this guy to his death. They didn't know about God's sovereign decree. They didn't know about God's purpose to have a whale swallow Jonah. Fact of the matter is, none of us know the secret things that belong unto the Lord. All we know is what's been revealed unto us and to our children, as the passage in Deuteronomy states. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why every day, whatever your hopes and plans may be, you have to say, Lord willing. We really do not know from day to day where the providence of God may take us. As Jonah went into that churning sea, I'm sure that he thought he was going to die, wouldn't you? He no doubt entered the water with many regrets for his disobedience. He also was made acutely aware of the extent of God's chastening hand. He was God's child. And even though he had confessed his sin and preached to the mariners and witnessed their conversion, God was still chastising him for his rebellion. You see, you can be forgiven and still experience God's chastening hand and reap what you have sown. I've said it many times, those laws of sowing and reaping are universal and continual. Well, when the mariners cast Jonah overboard, a mighty miracle occurred before their very eyes. Think about this. Here they are in the midst of a horrific storm. They've already cast off the boat several things of great value. They thought they were going to die. The raging sea, which only moments before had threatened their lives, all of a sudden became completely calm. The tempest ceased. They were privileged to witness what few men ever see: God performing a miracle before their very eyes. I've studied a passage in Psalm 107, and I've always applied it to Jesus as a fulfillment of prophecy. And as I studied this out, I think this is an Old Testament. I really need to check when Psalm 107 was written and when the book of Jonah was written and see if they jive together. But listen, if this doesn't sound familiar, what exactly happened? If you want to read it for yourself, it's Psalm 107, verse 23 through 30. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. They are glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Sounds a lot like what God did here before the very eyes of those mariners. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, if you study this Psalm 107 with the accounts of Christ calming the sea in the Gospels, that there's no doubt in my mind that that was a literal fulfillment of that prophecy. I like what Hugh Martin, he's an old writer, he had an interesting comment on how these mariners experienced the grace of God. Thus did these men. They awoke to know the living and true God. They prayed to Him. They appealed to Him. The storm they clearly saw was in His hand. A reason for it they saw was in His heart. And that reason they saw was clearly as they saw the storm. His hand they saw was almighty. His heart they saw was righteous. In a brief time, they learned not a little of the living and true God. They felt His anger. They even became executioners of His wrath. They emphatically justify their deed as being constrained to become executioners of the wrath of the living God. It is a solemn initiation into the knowledge of His name. Think about the crash course about Theology 101, about who God is, how He views sin. They learned all this, His sovereignty. They learned it all in mere moments. And now their guest, their passenger, is gone. The sea has closed over him, and the sea has ceased from her raging. Yes, if they doubted that a living one was moving the storm by the power of his hand and according to the purpose of his heart, they can now at least doubt no more. The sudden appeasing of the tempest tells its own tale. They fear God in the calm exceedingly more than in the tempest. And now, under no stress of weather, under no strain of terror, they vow, not an extorted mercenary vow, but a free and voluntary dedication of themselves to the Lord. One would say these men were converted to the God of Israel. One would hope they lived and died in His fear and in His favor. Now he's referring to verse 16, which we'll get to next week, where it says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." Have you ever seen a miracle? Have you ever experienced a miracle? Well, if you're saved, you have. No doubt about it. Because a miracle happens when God intervenes and determines to execute His will in a powerful way apart from any ability of man. That's a miracle. They threw Jonah overboard, and all of a sudden, the storm stopped. Everything was calm. And it caused them to be filled with reverence for God. Think about it. When they saw this, they had to be in their mind, man, this guy was preaching the truth. He told us exactly what we needed to do. And when we obeyed the word, God performed this miracle. Can you imagine the astonishment of those mariners as they witnessed the mighty power of God calming the storm and the sea before their very eyes? The clouds rolled back, the wind ceased, the sea became calm. How great, how almighty is our God. With no effort at all, He can calm the raging sea. As God's people, we need to bow down before our great and mighty God and give Him the worship that is due His holy name. If you're saved, you've experienced a real miracle. You've been translated out of darkness into His marvelous light. You have been brought from spiritual death, degradation, trapped in depravity and sin, and you have been raised spiritually to new life in Jesus Christ. And there is nothing more miraculous than that. Aaron and Andre had just experienced a miracle. God brought forth a child. You say, well, that happens every day. It's miraculous. And how anybody could attribute that to anything other than God, you have to be willfully ignorant and decidedly against God Almighty to not say, God is working of truth when you see the birth of a child. I've seen miracles happen. I remember when Hunter Bills was born. It was in August, wasn't it? What year was it? I was there. It was miraculous. Everything that happened and how God moved upon those doctors and everything went miraculously. Folks, you better be astounded and amazed when you see God working in your life and in your family and in your church. How we need to worship Him. Rather than fretting about our circumstances and our problems, we need to see the greatness of the God who loves and cares for us. We need to realize that God will undertake for us and that we are more than conquerors through Him. If He can calm the raging sea, if He can spare the lives of many sailors, then certainly He can calm our troubled hearts. Let us learn to rest upon the mighty arm of our loving Lord. And really know what it is to rest in Him and trust in Him. And depend upon Him. And I teach and I preach this knowing full well that God may move in such a way that what I preach may be tested. I pray that I will never diminish a word of His truth, but that I'll say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And worship Him. We're dismissed.